Well, our gospel reading that Margie just read a moment ago continues on from where we left off last Sunday. And let's remember, the context is exactly the same. It's the night before Jesus would die. It was the night that he would be taken into custody, that would lead up eventually to his trial, to his death, and ultimately his resurrection that we celebrate in this glorious Easter season. Jesus was, at this particular time in the story, sharing a meal with his disciples, the Last Supper that he would have with them. And so what we are still hearing is John's recording of his final discourse, his last teachable moment to say to his followers what they would need to hear in order to get through these next few days. He's told them over and over again that he's about to leave them. He's even told them how he will leave them and what will happen. And he's told them that their lives are going to radically change yet again. Remember, their lives have already changed when they left their fishing nets, their families, their communities, and accepted that calling and that commission to follow him. Well, Jesus says to them, your lives are going to radically change again. Needless to say, they were a little bit confused, anxious, afraid, because they didn't really get it. They didn't quite understand what Jesus had and was saying to them, even at this very time. No matter how clear he tried to be or how much assurance he gave them in the short time that he'd spent with them. Last Sunday, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And he reflected on our need to hear that message today in our own lives, with all that's going on in the world that we live in today, and in the context of change and transition right here in our own parish church of St. George on Yonge. And this morning, the words that I picked up on as I reflected on the passage and that are words for us to hear and to really internalize are again the assurance that Jesus gave to his disciples and the assurance that Jesus gives to us as well. He says, "I will not leave you orphaned." We have an image of what it means to be orphaned. So when you think about someone who is orphaned, what comes to mind for you? What feelings do you associate with being orphaned? Loss?
Fear?
Poverty?
Uncertainty.
Alone?
Uncertainty?
Lots of emotions, which are often the result of an individual, usually a child, for whom both of their parents has died. Abandoned, bereft, deserted, alone, frightened, anxious, isolated, without someone to care for them or guide them, maybe even without someone to love them. The images that we see on television of orphans in Africa, they're haunting, they're disturbing, and they are simply sad. Because who is there to care for them? Who is to attend to their most basic needs? Who is to love them? Who is to nurture them? Often, when they're at the most impressionable age of their lives, when they should be experiencing the most innocence of life, and yet this tragedy comes upon them, and they are left where they are. And add to that the injustice of it all. Because usually, yes, it's associated with poverty. And that isn't right. It's wrong. And it shouldn't be that way for anyone. Well, in a way, that's how the disciples may have felt too, given that they were already grieving. And especially when it came to that unknown of what these next days were going to be like. What would happen to them? How would these days go? What would they face? How would they go on? They felt vulnerable. And likely there might have even been a little panic settling in. And yet in the midst of that, Jesus assured them. He said, trust me. I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm not going to abandon you to fend for yourselves. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. The truth, in the face of that fear and terror and panic and isolation and loss and grief, Jesus promises that they will be looked after, that they will be loved, that they will have everything they need to continue living and serving faithfully, even though they may not have been able to see it themselves at that particular moment in time. He says to them, trust that God will always abide with you, and trust that God will always abide within you, that God will continue to bless you in ways that you can't even imagine at this moment, and that God will love you abundantly. And out of being loved abundantly yourselves, that you will be able to go out into the world and in turn share that abundant love, that gift of faith and hope and promise that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to his disciples, you will never be alone. No matter what is happening to you, no matter what's happening around you, remember and know deep inside of you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Yes, Jesus says to them, live out your life and do the work that God has called you to do, knowing and trusting that God will send the Spirit. God will send an advocate who will be known and who will be alive all around you and that will be alive within you as well. In other words, what he's saying to them, even though they wouldn't know what it meant at that moment, is Pentecost is going to come and the gift of the Spirit will be real. And that Spirit, Jesus says, will continue to do for you everything that I've done for you. The Spirit will strengthen you and, yes, challenge you and nurture you and guide you and direct you and protect you. With that Spirit of God, you will be able to face anything, Jesus says. You will face anything that comes upon you, anything that threatens you, anything that challenges you, your faith, or your ministry. Jesus says the Spirit of God will open opportunities before you. The Spirit will invite you into new possibilities and build new relationships and new networks to invest in exciting possibilities for mission and for ministry. Jesus says with the Spirit of God in you and all around you, you will be empowered to do anything and everything. Even the things you can't begin to imagine yourself doing. And that's exciting. It's daunting too, but it's definitely exciting. Jesus is saying to the disciples, the way ahead may not be easy for you. You might stumble along the way. You might not even know for sure where you're going or what you're going to be doing. There may well be barriers that you will face and obstacles. But Jesus says, know the truth. Know it to be true and trust and believe it. That the work I call you to do, the work I commission you to do as the body of Christ will continue. And you will be astonished at what God can do as you allow that Spirit to come to life and to live abundantly and vibrantly through you. In our second reading for this morning, Peter called his readers to a similar kind of approach as the early church. He wrote to them these words. He said, now who will harm you? We could even change that to say, now what will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, translates the passage this way. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give it a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, who is your master. With faith, with confident trust, the disciples and the early church embraced that belief, and they lived out that belief, and they overcame numerous obstacles, all in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, and as they contributed to the building up of the kingdom of God. No doubt God worked through them. God worked through their willingness to embrace whatever conditions they found themselves in, confident that they weren't doing it on their own, but that God was intimately involved with them. And one sign of that reality is that we're here today, right now in this very place, as part of the body of Christ, the body of Christ that has survived over 2,000 years. And throughout that 2,000 years, there have been and there are even today significant barriers and stumbling blocks that could have compromised the ministry that has been accomplished. Throughout all time, it may have felt like faithful men and women were abandoned, or so to speak, orphaned. But we are constantly reminded that that wasn't the case, and that God, through the Holy Spirit, always remained active, always remained involved, always visible, always engaged in what the faithful were doing and in what the faithful were living out. Well, we need to hold on to that same truth today. We need to have the same confident faith today, a faith that leads us to a bold proclamation in everything that we say and do and in everything that we are about as the body of Christ. Jesus says to us today, people of St. George on Young, I will not leave you abandoned. Jesus says, yes, there will be changes. Yes, you are moving into a time of another transition in leadership, but you will not ever be alone in that, because my Spirit will be all around you. My Spirit will be within you, and you will continue in faithful ministry. Even with all that you may be feeling at this moment in time, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. And friends, that is the truth. And it will always be an amazing, awesome truth. It is always God's gift to us and to those who will come after us too. Over these next weeks, we, you and I alike, may feel something of what the disciples felt. But I pray that we will continue to always hold on to our faith, knowing that as God has blessed us in the past, throughout the years of becoming who we are today, so too God will bless each and every one of us going forward. And as Luke wrote in the Acts of the Apostles, read this morning too, just as Paul spoke to the early church in Athens, so he speaks to us here today. Starting from scratch, God made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living so that we could seek after God. And not just grope around in the dark, but actually find God. Because God doesn't play hide and seek with us. God's not remote from us. God is near to us. We live and we move in God always. We can't get away from God. So putting together the message of last week and this week, let's hear Jesus speaking clearly, saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I will not leave you orphaned. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we continue to reflect on that passage and pray about it, a song that I found, which is also a video, I'd like to share with you. And it's on that theme of not feeling alone, not feeling abandoned. And so I invite you to pray this prayer and this song as it is offered this morning.